web page. This is, let's start and please share it. Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Shai. It's good to talk to you, brother.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. Give me a second. I mean, you can speak. I just want to share this broadcast on Telegram groups and stuff like that. So, yeah, just, yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching this right now.
Say hi to the audience.
I want to say thank you to everyone who's watching. Not only do you watch, comment. Listen, find people on the Insight to Israel Facebook page that believe exactly like you do. Find them from people all over the world. Friend them. Get encouragement from each other. Pray for each other. You know, get to know each other on a personal level. And you'll find that you're not so far apart. And that's what's exciting. What I'm thankful I can do with Insight to Israel is we all love Israel. We love this country. We stand with Israel. But we understand in this day and hour that we live, that there is government corruption, and this is ground zero for it. Folks, this is, like it or not, it's a reality. But at the same time, there are great people here. When I look at the history of the Jewish people that have fought for freedom, that came through the Holocaust, all the way back to the time of slavery in Egypt, the Jewish people, for good or for bad, have been fighting for the freedom. And once again, even in their own homeland, which was rebirthed in 1948, they're fighting for that freedom again. And I am honored to stand with them in that fight, as I know many of you are. So thank you for everyone that shares our videos here. And I want to say thank you to Shai. So I apologize. I don't know why I keep saying it. I want to say thank you to Shai for taking the time to do this, because we want to give you an update of what's happening here in Israel and our thoughts of what's happening. Go ahead, brother.
Sure. Thank you very much. And by the way, your sound quality, something is not quite right, like it was before. So I don't know if you should play with the...
How about that?
Yes, my man. Yes, yes, yes.
All right, take out those potatoes growing out of my ears.
Exactly. This is better. This is better. Right. I just, can you, while we on, can you just check that on your webpage, there's a broadcast going on? Just to be on the side? All right. Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, it's there?
Yep.
All right. All right. Right. So basically, I mean, we know each other for what, a couple of months or so. And things are moving really fast now. And obviously it seems as if we have like a little break, you know, from the corona. And I'm saying as if because I don't trust them. I don't believe them. Those who brought you fake pandemic, they will bring you a fake break. So we need to prepare ourselves for what's coming next. And as I said today in the Hebrew broadcast I've done, we don't know exactly what they're going to pull out their sleeves, but we do know they will pull something out. So we need to prepare. And it can be a variant. It can be a war. We know that Russia is coming. Iran is coming. The pressure is coming. And we know the prophecies. We're talking about a big war that will go on here in Israel. 70 nations will come on board and try to win over this piece of land and the Jewish heart, I would say. Now, I saw the broadcast you did, Michael, just a few minutes ago, and I 100% with you. I've listened to everything. I had 100% with you. So thank you for this update, and I think your audience is great. I saw also the comments, and well done, guys, girls, everywhere.
Absolutely.
Right, I think I will let you lead now, because I don't know which you know which alley you want to go to. So I will let you take the lead.
So what, you know, I just was watching one of your, and obviously what you're saying is fantastically put, because now I get people messaging me, as I'm sure you're getting the same thing. They did away with the green passport. What's up with that? Let's start off by getting your take. And I know you kind of phrased it the right way. We don't know. We know what they've done, but we don't know. We have an idea, but there's a couple places they could come from next. What were your first thoughts when you saw in the media that they were doing away with the green passport?
My first response was like, really? You know, and I've done it in Hebrew or Arabic. It was like, voila. I was surprised, to be honest. I was surprised, and it's all right. I can still be surprised, which I think is great. Look, the way I see it, it can be, there's various reasons to how come this what happened. One of them is the pushback that people give here in Israel, whether it's the letters to the court, whether it's the get together of parents and doctors who do not want this vaccine to go on. I'm talking about the children. So on one side, they brought this little mini war, right? This little exercise that we see in the last couple of weeks. And we thought that it's to push the vaccines, well, so-called vaccines, obviously, this is the genetically modifying substances.
We call it an injection on inside.
Injection. Yeah, we can call it injection. So they wanted to push the injections under this mini war, this mini stage war, I should say. But now they took a couple of steps back with the green passport story. But we see that abroad in other countries, they're actually pushing the green passport. So if I can connect all the dots, there's few levels that we should look at. One is the mainstream media, which is basically throwing a lot of lies with some truth in order to confuse everyone. This is happening in Israel and elsewhere. In the social networks, we have more or less the same, unless you stick to one, two, three, or four other channels that you trust and you listen to what they say and their interpretations of the reality. Now, on top of that, you have obviously they want to push the green passport. All this technology you were speaking before, China, Israel, I can add Russia to the mix, and other countries as well, they would like this technology to be implemented everywhere or almost everywhere, at least for now, until 2025. So they are playing like a tango dance with us, I would say. They're pushing it, and then now they say, look, the corona is kind of finished for now here in Israel. So just to, just to open people's eyes to what's going on here now in Israel. And in a minute, we'll go to abroad, to other countries as well, obviously. So what they're doing now in Israel is like they're minimizing the pressure on the corona regulations and all this, but they are passing laws that will break everything we can think of as something to protect us against tyranny. They are going to smash it. So they're giving us a rope, and on the other hand, they're ready with a stick, or they give us a carrot and they're ready with a stick. At the same time, I just called it this morning Stockholm syndrome, Stockholm syndrome, because yeah. What we up against, I mean, what we are doing now, they're giving us like a really hard time with psychological warfare for a year or a year and a half now. It's been like a nasty psychological warfare. And like when you capture a soldier and you want to torture him, you know, maybe they still do the physical torture, but basically the psychological torture, they found it to be much better than the physical torture, or maybe a combination. So we had the masks, we had the injections, we had all this shit, but the psychological warfare is far worse. Because now people who even got the injections, they think, all right, the corona is over. Yeah. Meaning the government was right. And those guys like Shai and Mike and these other guys, they were wrong. Because you see, the corona is over. What they don't know is that the corona is just the match to start to ignite the fire. The fire is not corona at all. The fire is the technology. The fire is the blockchain. The fire is taking over our life. The fire is controlling every aspect of our life. The corona was just the trigger, was just the match to ignite the fire, to roll us into this dictatorship, medical dictatorship or biosensor dictatorship. You know, we are going towards this direction. And this direction behind the scenes is actually China and Israel are working together. Surprise, surprise. We know that Israel is, or I would say the States is Israel's best ally. Well, maybe it's not so much true at the moment. Maybe behind the scenes for some time now, Israel, Russia, China have been working together on some really weird shit, which is basically technology. And you mentioned China and the port of Haifa, and you mentioned China and Nuva, the big dairy product company, like the major Israeli dairy product company has been bought by China. And there's many companies being bought by China. Land has been bought by China in Israel. So the Holy Land of Israel is being sold, you know, Michael, is not even to the highest bidder. It's not the highest bidder. It's not about money. I mean, I know people think it's about money. It's about control. Even if now China will put, let's say, $10 trillion, okay, to get Israel. For example, I just throw a big number, you know, $10 trillion. It's a lot of money. Let's say they put $20 trillion. They will cash it back in the next 50 years. They don't have a problem to do it. You know, it's not about money. They want to control. Now, where they want to control? Obviously, they want to control the whole world. But it's not China. China is just the, I would say, the arm that does it. But if you go and see the George Soros of the world and the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the, what's the name? The Clinton Bushes. Forgot the name. But basically, if you go and look on the big... those who actually own everything is Vanguard and BlackRock. It's two holding companies with in private hands, all right? So we don't really know on the books who own BlackRock and who own Vanguard. We know they own everything. They own everything. They own this. Everything. They own the roads, the technology, the pharma. They own everything. So it doesn't matter really who is taking over who, because they're still doing it. And the companies or the, I would say the families behind BlackRock and Vanguard, they are the ruling families or the ruling elite for many, many years. If you follow, for example, I saw one of the comments you got about Brendan O'Connell. Now, Brendan O'Connell was charged with speaking against Israel or against Zionism or against the Jewish state. And, you know, they're now passing laws in the States. You cannot speak against the Jewish state. Hello, what about free speech, you know? Now, don't get me wrong. I love Israel. I love this land. I love these people. I've been living, I'm nearly 50 years old. I've been living for, let's say, a third of my life or roughly a quarter of my life with Arabs. I lived in a settlement in the what is called behind the green line, you know, in the occupied territories. I know what sort of coexistence looks like and feels like. And since the first Intifada, things shifted. They basically brainwashed everyone that the Arabs would like to take Israel, take over Israel. Now, I'm saying Arabs because back then there were no Palestinians. i.e., there were Palestinians, Jews, and Palestinian Arabs. It was not, the Palestinian world is not made by Israelis or Jews or by Arabs. It's made by the Romans. And it's to call this piece of land Palestine. Now, it doesn't make sense. And you know, and in a minute, I will go back to other countries to speak about what's happening in other countries. But basically, I want to just give a larger scope, and it doesn't matter if someone who is listening to us, he supports Israel or supports Palestine. It doesn't matter now because it's all brainwashed. It's all a psychological warfare. So we need to understand there was no Palestine nation. Palestine is the name of the land, and whoever lived here was a Palestinian. Doesn't matter if he was a Jewish Palestinian or a Muslim Palestinian or a Christian Palestinian. He was called a Palestinian. Now, no Arab in the whole world, no Arab will call his land Palestinian when he cannot pronounce the letter P. It doesn't make sense whatsoever. It's just inconceivable. Like, let's say you would call your home or your land, you will call it, I don't know, you cannot pronounce it, you cannot repeat it. Why would you do that? You need to call it a word, you know, something that is meaningful that you can pronounce. There is no Palestinian nation. There is no Palestinian history, economy, art. It doesn't exist. There are Egyptian Palestinians, Jordanians Palestinians, Syrian, Lebanese, Iraqi, Saudis. Yes, like you have Jewish Palestinians.
Let me clarify real quick for the audience, because there's a lot of people that may be new to what you're saying. They have a general idea. But what you were saying about the P, in Arabic, there is no letter P. That's why they can't say the word Palestinian. Now, that isn't a slight toward the Arabs, because, see, my eyes have been open to a lot of stuff, Shai, okay? Because even the Christian media outlets here in Israel use the word Palestinian. So when you say it long enough, go ahead.
Yeah, so people do think, again, according to the mainstream brainwash everywhere, and I'm referring to, let's say, the last 40 years. I mean, it started before that, but in the last 40 years, more or less, since the first Intifada, which is the beginning of the 80s, I was roughly 10 years old, maybe 13 years old back then when it started. They actually convinced us that there is a nation which is called Palestinians or Palestine, nothing to do with the land and what we knew from actual history, and they deserve a land. They deserve their own state. Now, I'm not even against that, but why you need to lie to us? We need to understand it's about control. They want to control this place. How? What's the best way to control this place? Create war. War is good for business. War is good for control. War is good for hiding the truth, because you throw just disinformation and misinformation on everyone, and everyone is confused. And obviously, if you control the media, oh man, you're a top dog, because you can disinform and misinform everyone with whatever bullshit lies you want to miss and disinform them. So this is what's been going on for decades now, obviously, in Israel, and I would say since the establishment of Israel. Now, if you go to Bibi Netanyahu or Benjamin Netanyahu, never mind Bibi, just Benjamin Netanyahu, because Bibi, the name Bibi is part of the witchcraft they are pulling on us. So just let's call him the Prime Minister of Israel, because that's what he is for now. So basically, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, probably is also using what's going on here to stay in power. At the same time, he's fulfilling an agenda that is coming from the Swiss Nazis, from this WEF, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, and these lot of families and guys and planners of the fourth industrial bullshit revolution. This is all just sand in our eyes. This is all, basically, they want to control every bit and every piece of your life, including your children. This is their sick mind. What?
And let me say, I've actually, two things. I've actually posted the contract, which is on the government website, the Israeli government website, the contract with the World Economic Forum, that Israel will provide the technology, the technology contract.
Of course.
That means, now consider that the World Economic Forum, and I need all Israelis and all you folks out there calling me an anti-Semite and anti-Israel. You need to understand what's happening here. No, Michael, you're exaggerating. Shai, you're exaggerating. Listen, consider the fact they just got done with a meeting at the World Economic Forum a few months ago. They praised communist China. And Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, was on that same stage as praising communist China. Now, I don't care, honestly, you're going to think me cruel and unkind. I'm tired of hearing about the Uyghurs, okay? They've been murdering and persecuting Christians there since the inception of the communist Chinese party. So, for all those folks out there that have their head up in the sky that say, no, Michael, not during a war, we need to talk about, we need to focus on defeating Hamas. Hamas is a smokescreen. Go ahead.
Hamas has been sponsored by Israel. Hamas has been sponsored by states in Europe. Hamas has been sponsored by like groups who would like, again, to control this place. We need to remember, Michael, and I think it's quite fair to say, I say to the Jewish people, but also to the Christian people and also to the Muslim people and whoever is out there. The world, whether you like it or not, the world is following Israel. I think today, I mean, for good and for better and for worse, you know, I mean, hopefully for better. But we need to really pay attention to it, because once you look at the end of the day, just to click something in your head, just shift something, small thing in your head, and suddenly your perception changes and then you see things more clearly. You need to understand that if, let's say, there's 4 billion, maybe 5 billion, let's say 4 billion people are Christians and Muslims. They follow the Bible. The Bible belongs to the people of Israel. I mean, it comes from them. Maybe it doesn't belong to them. Maybe they belong to the Bible, but they belong to God, basically. And it comes from them. It comes from this tradition or this history. Once Israel is deciding to go this side, everyone is paying attention, is thinking, hang on. The people of Israel is going there. Why? What they know that we don't know, all right? And historically, it's been proven again and again and again. Now, at the same time, the people of Israel have been on the target of annihilation for centuries. little mistakes. All right. Yes, some societies, some families, some, I would say, pharaonic, I would say Nazi, I would say there's groups in the world who would like to see Israel ruined. And because they come from the other side, I would say, they want to fight God, the Creator. And by doing, in order to do that, they go against Israel. Now, if what I said now, it's too superficial or it's too deep, it's all right. Take it as it is. You don't have to, I'm not saying it to you, I'm saying it to the viewers. You don't have to take it as I said it. You can think about it, ponder about it, but you need to still consider that. Vaccinations first happen in Israel. Green passport first happen in Israel. The world, or let's say, first I said that, the technology to allow, like you said before, to allow everything that is happening and will happen according to the plan, should happen in the next few months or years, the technology is coming mostly from Israel. So by knowing that, any little turn that Israel is doing, the world is looking. Now, I'm saying the world, but we need to again differentiate between the governments, the media, and the ruling elite, because the governments and the media are the monkeys of the ruling elite. They do whatever they tell them. And the people. Most of the people, they're still looking up to the MSM to learn about reality. More and more people are leaving the MSM and coming to channels like ours, which is good. But still, the majority is still hooked on the MSM, and he thinks there's a corona, there's a pandemic, and we need to do something about it, and the government is here to protect us and save us, and Fauci is good for us, and Gates is good for us, and Klaus Schwab is good for us, etc., etc. But once the... So first, people are used to look at Israel and say, no, Israel is an oppressor. Why they do this to the Palestinians? And this is part of the brainwashing, all right? And add to that, that this is a mini fake staged war, what we just saw, or maybe still see, I don't know, but there's a ceasefire now. And at the same time, the MSM is keep throwing the lies and the, according to what is being told to put out. The actual, I would say the Swiss, the British, the other families who would like to see results on their side, on their agenda, for their interests, they maybe tick the box with Israel, and now they are looking into Europe and the States and the other Western world, and I emphasize it's mostly Western world that they want to take down. If you look at China, there's no coronavirus there.
They're having parties in Wuhan.
Yes, exactly. And also in India, like you said, again, we see some videos coming out of India. It's, again, the mainstream media, it's full bullshit. And if you take India and China together, this is already what? Nearly, I think it's 3 billion people. You know, so I said before, 4 billion people. And now it's 3 billion people, just India and China. And never mind India. You look at China, there's full parties, there's no corona. And yes, they have the social credit, they have the 5G and maybe 6G, and they have the full control. Yes, we know that. But there's no corona. Meaning the corona was just, like I said, just the starter, just to ignite these flames that now spreading all over the world, and there's a big pandemic, etc. The pandemic is just a cover story, as I've been saying from day one. It's just a cover story to take over our life, our assets, our bodies, our minds, our children, for God's sake. And this is what's been going on. And this will continue until we stop it. Another point, Michael. I said it on a very viral video that went, I don't know, all over Israel, and I think also abroad, 8 minutes video, which I described that what's been happening now in Israel in this mini staged war is actually part of a military exercise. Now, it's quite funny because if you look at the past, you see, like really, you cannot ignore the similarities. 9/11, at the same day that the buildings went down by an airplane, there was a military exercise of an airplane taking down the buildings. Surprise, surprise, what a coincidence. Now, a few years later, there was a bomb in the London Underground. At the same day, there was an exercise simulating exactly that. There's a bomb in the London Underground.
Here in Israel?
No, in London.
Okay.
All right. In 94, I think it was, the Prime Minister of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin, was murdered. At the same day, there was an exercise of attacking an Israeli prime minister.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, you go at the beginning, I think it was October, before the pandemic, there was the event 201. Again, exercise of a worldwide pandemic. All right?
And spell out that event, because the World Economic Forum, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, folks, this is not a secret. You can go to their website. They say it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
The mock pandemic with all the governments and the WHO and the UN. Now, what's shocking to me, real quick, is that always remember it rolls downhill. So, what the World Economic or what the WHO says, yeah, they're gonna tweak it. The WHO sent instructions out to all the countries, okay, guidelines, and they tweaked it, their government tweaked it, so that it wouldn't all look the same, because every country's different. And all of a sudden, the guy who's running the WHO, working with Bill Gates, who's not even a doctor, he was appointed after they overthrew Ethiopia? No. Yes. Ethiopia. He was a warlord. And they made him Minister of Health over the new government.
Yes.
He's not even a doctor. My point in saying that is that this is what gets me, because anyone who may see this video or who will see this video that doesn't agree with anything we say, I can only tell you this. Go to the WHO, the World Economic Forum website, 2019, with Bill Gates. Israelis, pay attention. Because while you sit back and say, look, everything's great, they're planning your demise, because you already did once what they said. You were obedient the first time. And let me, I'm not trying to, I want you to finish. But let me say this, as someone who is not anti-Semitic, do you know why they chose you first? I've said this a thousand times. We can go back to Egypt. After all the Jews saw the miracles of God through the plagues, the death of Pharaoh's son, okay, Moses turning the rod into a serpent, less than 25% of you came out of Egypt, okay? When you were taken into captivity into Babylon, when Nebuchadnezzar built a statue, everyone bowed when the music played except for three Hebrew boys. All y'all cowards bowed. Can you name them for me, Shai? The three Hebrew boys?
No.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what I'm talking about?
Say again, sorry.
The three Hebrew boys, when you were in captivity in Persia under King Nebuchadnezzar, he built a big statue in his likeness. And he told the Jews, when the music plays, everyone needs to bow to my image. Do you know this story?
I don't remember it, sorry.
There were three Hebrew boys that would not bow. And the king brought them and said, listen, you Jews, everyone bowed but you three boys. I'm going to give you one more chance to play the music. And you know what they said to him? Listen, king, we don't owe you anything. We serve the one true God. No matter what you do to us, we will not bow. And they didn't bow. And they threw those three boys into a fiery furnace. And they looked in through the window of the furnace. And they said, how many did you throw in there? We threw three. Well, there's four in there. God was walking around with those three Jewish boys. My point is this. Half you Jews in this country took this because they knew that you would obey your government because you have a history of it for good or for bad. That's why Israel was split between Judah and Israel at one time, because you had wicked kings. Anyway, that's my whole point. Go ahead.
No, it's a really important point because, you know, it's quite a funny combination of qualities you find in the people of Israel. They can be really stubborn, but really naive. You know, they're really good heart, but they're really thick. You know, it's like, and they're really clever. They're really, really clever, but they cannot accept that someone wants to do harm to them. You know, so
their government mostly. I hear it all the time. Now I trust my government. How's that worked out for you in the past? That's what you said. That's why I say, listen, people get mad at me. They get like, they want to spit on me. Okay. I say, listen, it took two German soldiers to walk 200 Jews to the ghettos and to the camps.
Yeah.
Why? Because you obeyed the government.
Yeah.
And you said, no, the government, no, we hear rumors. No, it's not true. It's not true. It's not. You denied it all the way up until they turned on the cyclone gas.
Yeah. It's really sad, Michael. This is true. This is history, and these are facts. And I'm saying the naivety, it's so, I cannot understand it. I cannot grasp it. I cannot accept it that most people are really that naive. It's heartbreaking. I mean, I can speak about my closest family members. You know, it's like we're talking about that much closeness that they don't see what I see. They don't see what you see. For them, we talk bullshit. For them, TV is right. For them, the truth is coming from the government and the media. And otherwise, I don't have any explanation why you go and take two injections. I mean, one is not enough. Two! And you're still sticking this stick up your nose. I mean, come on.
I'm trying to gather, and I've done one interview and it got a lot of feedback. I'm running into people that will not publicly acknowledge, but they regret having taken this because they're feeling side effects. I was on the set doing a commercial last week. A young lady, we got to talking. She's the makeup girl, And she said she was suffering side effects. Her brother and her father took it. They're suffering from side effects. Wow. Not anything major, but they're having physical problems that were never there before. And their friend and her friends. And she said, I regret putting this into my body because I can't reverse it. Okay. So we did it. I kept her face out. I didn't tell her name. I let her speak. Okay. Amazing young lady. So bright. Listen, she messaged me 2 days later because the media was talking about India. She talked to her friends in India and she goes, Michael, would you mind to take that down? I feel bad after I watched the news and saw what was happening in India. I feel bad what I said about the injection. I said, are you crazy? You yourself said you're suffering from side effects. Your family members or your friends are suffering from side effects. Your brother and your father were forced, coerced, inject or lose your job. I said, listen, I didn't use your name or your face. I'm not taking it down. I'm not doing it. I'm shocked that you would reverse.
Yeah, that's how the brainwash, I mean, that's how deep it goes. Anyway, I wanted to add something as well, Michael. This mini-staged attacks and what has been happening inside of Israel in mixed cities like Akko, Haifa, Jaffa, Jerusalem, and maybe some others. This was also a reason why to use a military, because the police obviously is not enough to deal with that. Now, it was quite funny because a couple of weeks before that, every five people who got together, immediately you see police cars stopping. No, you have to stay apart. You cannot be together. You may get the corona. You have to put a mask. You can see police everywhere finding people with some, you know, with a lot of money. And you can see like hoses of water to disperse the crowd. And once the attack started, you see no police in the streets, which was quite funny as it is. But then the military got in and then it was all clear. They wanted to create this more chaos, looks like more chaos, especially in the media, to justify the military going in the mixed cities. Now, why I'm saying that? Because if what was happening before in Israel, meaning the injections, the green passport, and now the military, all of us may see similar things coming to other countries around the world. Again, mostly in the Western countries, that military will go in to create peace. You know, it's quite funny. It's a contradiction, a military that creates peace. But anyway, going inside, because if people don't want to take the jab or if people are creating civil unrest, the military has to go inside. Now, why? That's just my idea, my opinion. Why they started this mini staged fighting? Because there was no civil unrest in Israel. If you go to other countries, the states, the UK, Germany, Spain, Italy, you see demonstrations and protests of tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people in the streets. This is, you may start to call it civil unrest, but in Israel, you didn't see that. People didn't go out to the street. Now, if you look at this plan of the Rockefeller Foundation, Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development, in chapter Lockstep on page 18, this is the paper Lockstep, they say quite clearly, and this is for those who don't know, this is the plan for the corona. It's been published 10 years ago, even before that. And the same foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, has been published the next pandemic, which is SPARS from 2025 to 2028. But basically, they were saying here that you need civil unrest. More people will go to the street and governments will have to use more force to stop the civil unrest. But in Israel, there was no civil unrest, really. So they throw in the card that always works, which is the Muslim and Jewish card, which obviously they show that it works. But what's funny, that even this didn't really work. I mean, you get Arabs like well-known figures in the Arabic communities inside of Israel. They're saying that some of the activists, the Arab activists, were actually, they were actually part of the Shin Bet. I mean, the government of Israel pushed them to go out to the streets to create this havoc, you know? So it was, for sure, it was staged, like so many things in our life that we think that they are coincidence and they just happen, but these are staged events. Now, if I continue what I say, is that we may see similar events happening soon in other countries. Because again, Israel is a mini laboratory, like Benjamin Netanyahu admitted, and Pfizer CEO, Burla admitted. Israel is the world laboratory. And obviously they admitted that after they didn't want to admit that, but they eventually did. So if Israel is the mini laboratory of the world with the technology, with the vaccine, well, the injections, and with the green card, a green passport, then it means that, and now it's also a bit, at least to an extent, with the military, we may see this now spreading to other countries, like we see the injection spreading and the green passport spreading, and we may see the military spreading also, like the warp speed operation that Trump announced on it. Now Biden is continuing, but for me, they are all puppets. They are all puppets. No one is working for us. No one is working for us. That's why, Michael, the way I see it, the way I put it out almost every time I speak, we have no one to wait for. In order for us to get our life back, we need to stand up and take it back. And while we do that, we better throw these bastards to jail. All right? And this is what we need to do. Now, someone would like to stand up just outside his home with a sign. That's fine. Someone would like to stop going to work. That's fine. Someone would like to do other things in order to stand up for his life, for his rights. That's fine. But people still need to stand up for their life and for their children and for their body and for their mind, a consciousness, for their soul. We are being attacked over and over again by all fronts, by a very sophisticated but stupid elite, which are crossbreeding between themselves. That's why they're stupid. That's why they're stupid. But because they walk the other side, this is where their sophistication comes from. Otherwise, there would be really, really stupid people, because they are crossbreeding, but they are practicing like really, really bad stuff that goes way back, like thousands of years back, like human sacrifice and really nasty stuff. They practicing these sort of things, that what gave them power to control over us. They use our naivety, not just the people of Israel, but the whole world, I mean humanity. They're using or taking advantage of our naivety and our goodwill and innocence to control us. They're using it against us. We cannot imagine that there's people like that in the world, but there are. And you know, here on the screen, it says, move away from evil and do good, which is Sur Mera and Aset Tov. And continue the sentence is ask for peace and chase it. You know, like you need to actively step away from evil, show it to the whole world, expose evil to the whole world, so everyone will know this is a bad thing to do. And at the same time, do good, because people need to know what's the good thing to do, what's the good way to go on. And ask for peace, ask from God for peace.
Right.
And work for it or chase for it. So you need to actively work for it. And Michael, that's what I've been doing for 12 or 13 years now. Once I realized I've been fooled for most of my life, that's what I've been doing. Try to move away from evil and warn others. Try to do good, ask for peace, and, you know, work for it as hard as I can. And I hope, I really hope for the sake of humanity, that they wake up, stand up, and put a stop to all this nonsense, because this is really, really evil nonsense.
Yeah. Listen, and thing, because, you know, look, I can reflect back on times in my life. You know, I worked in Washington, D.C. in politics, and, you know, I was told the Gulf War was about freedom and democracy and all these things, and I bought it. They sold me the Christian Patriotism, God and Country line, and I bought it. And here we are almost 20 years later, trillions of dollars spent of my money and other American taxpayers. And for what? The military-industrial complex made a lot of money. A lot of money. And it's like, back then I said, no, no, those are leftists saying that. We don't agree with that. We don't follow that line. Turns out I may not agree ideologically with leftists, but what they were saying was absolutely correct, you know? I'm not saying that's across the board. My point is that, look, I want to encourage people, you know, most Americans, when if they're watching this, don't watch the Eurovision because you don't get it in the U.S. But imagine that a singer, it was broadcast here on the TV, a singer from the beautiful island of Cyprus, okay, got up on Eurovision, and I don't even like Eurovision. They promote everything that is that, let me tell you, Israel, you know why you're on the path that you are? You know why you took this jab? You know why you're deceived? Because you left this. You left this. You left this.
Yeah.
You left it. You left it. You forgot about, you talk about all you folks in the Shamron who took this jab, who wear your kippah and light your Shabbat candles. You talk about loving this, but you left it. You left it. My point is, I'm watching I love Cyprus. I got friends there. I got political friends there that are fighting against this injection with the government. The singer in Eurovision gets up and sings a song dressed like the devil, saying, I dedicate my life to El Diablo. How more blatant do they have to be, folks?
And they're people coming from
their kids.
Yeah.
Folks, listen, the Shah, I agree with what he's saying 100%. And I think that he'll agree with me. Even if we don't agree, it's okay. I still love the guy. We're on the same page. If your eyes have been open, I don't care. Listen, all this stuff about spirituality and the new enlightenment, whatever that means, I will tell you one thing. Let's get down to the level. If your eyes are open and you understand clearly what's happening, you better thank God for it.
Absolutely. Amen.
You better
Amen.
Thank God for it. And this is just insight to Israel. This is the way I believe. You better open this book because it's already laid out. It's already laid out in the book. And as a 50-year-old man, who studied the Bible, who went to seminary, I never thought in a million years I would see it in my lifetime.
Same here, man. And I didn't really study the Bible, but from what I've studied in my life, I never thought I would, you know, I would live to see the day, as they say, but it looks like we are here, and we are moments or weeks or months before Messiah, and this is for real. This is almost unbelievable, but you better start to believe it, because from what I'm getting, we're going to see like really biblical magnitude miracles coming our way. But in order for that to happen, we need to open our eyes and to remove everything that, you know, disturb us from seeing God, from seeing every little piece here is made by God, from God to God, and we are just a tool to achieve that. So I know for some people, what I just said, it's like, you know, a bit of hoo-ha. It's like this guy is off, but you just wait and see. I mean, I've been getting these lines like this guy is off for many years, Michael, but you know, I'm still here and I'm still very persistent with what I'm saying. And I've been saying it for many years now. And I'm really happy to live in this period. And whoever is alive now, there's a reason why you are here. We owe everything, not just to our children. And we need to fight and stand for our right for our children, but for all the generation that lived for us, fought for us, that we could be here today and be alive today. And there's a reason why every one of us is alive today. There's a reason. It's not by chance. It's not a coincidence. It's God's will. Literally, it's God's will for you and me and he and she and all of us to be here now. Maybe I was here before, I don't know, but I'm here now, and that's what's important, and that's what I need to put my emphasis on and my attention on. I'm here now, and I'm here to make my my choice, you know, because I was given this ability, this amazing right, amazing gesture and gift from God to choose. So please, people, choose. You have the opportunity to choose who you are. You are God's sons and daughters. Act like you are.
And let me add to that by what you're saying, because, you know, I don't know the level of, you know, you say that you may not know all the Bible, and that's fine. I will say this, and if you were more religious, you know, we would find somewhat of a divide into what we believe. Me as someone who believed, I'm not proselytizing, but I believe that the Jewish Jesus was the Messiah. I'm not proselytizing. I'm saying what I believe. My point is this. There's going to, in my perspective, before it gets better, it's going to get worse. And I'll tell you why. Because God is going to cleanse the wickedness from this earth. He did it the first time through a flood. The next time it will be by fire. And when that difficulty comes, we better know who we're serving. Because most of folks in this world are going to fall and they're going to bow to the government. They will bow to the powers that be because they think their life is going to be okay if they do. No. Once they'll squeeze, the powers that be will squeeze and squeeze till, because they don't just want your body. They want your soul.
Yeah.
And they will squeeze until the life is gone out of you. So you're better off to fight, because we live in a physical world. Though we have a spiritual realm, we have to pray. And God runs the spiritual. God runs the spiritual. But we have to look to him in order for that spiritual to be accomplished in the physical. And we have an obligation not just to pray. People prayed when the Americans invaded Europe. They prayed for success in that battle, okay, on D-Day. There were folks praying. They were fasting, asking for God's victory. But that prayer was not answered simply by praying alone. There were men that had to accomplish in the physical what was being done in the spiritual. Do I make sense?
Yes, you are. Yes.
Have an obligation not just to, your first obligation is to look to God, because he is going to be the one that will win in the end. Wickedness is so blind in itself, they think they're going to win. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Yes, it's not going to happen. They're not going to win. The only question is how much we are going to lose before we win.
Everything. People before us lost everything. Yeah. You go back to any time in history, people that wanted freedom, they lost everything, even their life.
That's so strong, really, yeah. I'm with you on that. I mean, obviously, and I know you are. I know I am ready for it. I mean, bring it on.
I'm praying every day.
Yes. And we need to remember also that, we need to prepare also on the spiritual level, also on the physical level.
Right.
And again, you know, this, to disobey some dictatorship law or a Nazi rule, or it's really good. I mean, to disobey tyranny, it's really a good thing to do. So don't be afraid from disobeying, you know, because we were taught to be good civilians. But don't be a civilian anymore. Be who you are. Be a man. Be a woman. Be free.
Right.
don't be a civilian, because this will take you to back to Egypt, basically.
You will end up back in slavery, and it doesn't end. Folks, wickedness, when we turn off this broadcast, and I have things I have to do, I'm going to the gym, you know. He's got a family to take care of. Wickedness doesn't stop. They're on the phone with each other. What's the next step? What else can we? They're devising and planning even while you sleep. So sleep with one eye open. You know, Nehemiah, the prophet, when he was sent back to Israel to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, he had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other to put those stones down, to lay the mortar and put the stones down. But he was ready to fight at a moment's notice against the enemies that would stop him from building the walls. I'm telling you, if you're not a religious Jew, I'm telling you right now, religiosity means nothing to God. It's when you open this and remember, Abraham built altars of remembrance, looking back at the times that God brought deliverance, and that's what the Jews need to do again. And the Christians, Christian folks are running to this thing like it's a savior, like it's a Messiah. And they will end up on the wrong side of history, of God and the Bible. I'm promising you that's what's coming. Bro, I'm glad your eyes are open, because I'm telling you, I love watching your broadcast.
Thank you very much, Michael. I enjoyed your podcast as well. Yes, thank you very much. And we should do another one. I mean, obviously, more updates will come very soon, because things are really quick now. So we probably make another broadcast, and it's good we connected our pages now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll go for it.
Next broadcast, because I'm working on some people right now, I would like to talk about the Belt and Road Initiative, the relationship with China and Israel, the relationship of China and Iran, UAE and Iran. Very interesting stuff that's happening. And they're buying up Israel, the billions of dollars being invested in the state of Israel by the UAE and China.
Sure. And you should look up also Vicky Davis. She's a really, really great researcher. And she was researching the One Belt Road. Vicky Davis, she's from the States. I interviewed her, I don't know, a couple of years ago, before the corona bullshit. She's really, really good researcher, specifically, I mean, not just about the One Belt Road, but also about that she found out, and she put out like really, really good information. So you can look her up. Yeah, One Belt Road. Yes, there's more people to look them up, but I leave it to you.
Great. Hey, right. Sean, I want to say thank you for being on Insight to Israel.
Sure.
You keep up the great work, and where you live, because I know you live in the north. I'm not going to say where, but you live in the beauty of the north. Listen, this man right here is self-sufficient. He's got the old school ways of living, and the way my mother taught me and my grandmother.
And well, I can't say self-sufficient, but yes, I obviously I put energy and time and effort in providing myself with a garden, with fruits, with vegetables, with eggs, with whatever I can. Yes.
Working the land, but I got
me. I just, Michael, sorry, Netta here, like she's asking for your website if you have, or your name. So please just say it, or I'll write it down if you have something she can go into.
You can go to Netta. Thank you. You can go to Insight to Israel on Facebook and on Instagram. And we also have group pages on WhatsApp and on Telegram. And if you go to the Insight to Israel Facebook page.
Yeah, I just put the link. I just put the link here.
Okay. You can find my WhatsApp. You can connect to my WhatsApp there, and we'll put you in the group.
Excellent. Michael Ganot, thank you very much, man. And we'll catch you up on the next broadcast. All the best. God bless.
God bless. Bye.
Take care.